Regardless, it was like a foreshadowing of what was supposed to be within this dream itself. And it was a crazy little line of what was supposed to happen. Now, let's try to understand. There are indications of how big of a tzaddik Yosef HaTzaddik was. Indications. V'hu nar, as B'nai Behov, as B'nai Zofanish Aviv. He was a young man. Okay, Rashi, we all know what Rashi says, right? He was a nar, as in he was a little kid. He acted and played and looked, you know, made himself all spruced himself up as if he was a little kid, you know, combed his hair in just such a way and put on moose and whatever it is. That's what it seems according to Yosef. But Yosef could not have done such a thing. The pshat is also that he's the Masharis. A Nar is also somebody who serves somebody else. And that's the idea that he served everyone else. That's one way to be able to understand what exactly he was supposed to do. Like Yoshua is the Nar of Moshe. That's what Yoshua did in front of Moshe. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But the Chiddush HaRim says Nar has a totally different connotation. Chiddush HaRim says Nar means to be Menuar. Menuar means to shake off. Get rid of all of the Yetzer Hara from you. To the point where Yosef HaTzaddik had no shaykhis to the Yetzer Hara. He was able to shake off every little bit of Yetzer Hara that was there. And the pshat is Tamid Haya Ne'ur. He was always awake. That's what it means by Na'ar. He was always awake to the powers of the Yetzer Hara and what the Yetzer Hara was trying to say. We all think about Misalsel Besairo. He was curling his hair. He wasn't curling his hair. He's not a little girl. That's what Yosef HaTzaddik was all about. Misalsel Besairo means he played with the Satan. He acted in a Maisa Narus. He acted as a little kid would, that said, I'm just going to fight all those people around there, all those people, I'm going to fight all the Yitzhara that the Yitzhara throws up to me. They try to make me do something bad, I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to do it. Now here's why it's a Maisa Narus. Says the Kedusha Rim, you want to stop yourself from doing Averus? Do more mitzvos. The more mitzvos you do, the less time you'll have for Averus. The more time you're spending on those mitzvos, you're not going to have any time to do anything else. But if you spend your time working, not on mitzvos, but just trying to keep yourself away from the Averus and the Yetzer Hara and everything there, that's child's play. Absolute child's play, especially to a guy like Yosef HaTzaddik. The Iker is to go the other way, to go with Maisim, and that's the way to do it. But not doing so, it's the following. You can go up to a dog that's barking at you and running after you, and there's two ways that you can go about this. One way of going about it is run away from the dog. Go up to the dog and be like, boo, and then run away from the dog. But the dog's going to chase after you. Another way is go up confidently and show the dog you're not afraid of anything whatsoever. And even though the dog's barking, the dog will eventually stop barking because you're showing you're the master. The dog is going to listen to you. That's the two ways to fight the Yetzer Hara. Go up to it and be confident and say, I've got mitzvos. I have nothing to worry about. Or to go up to the Yetzer Hara and be like, boo, and run away from it. Try to run away from those lavin. Yaakov, Yosef HaTzaddik was using the latter. He was using the second way. And we have to understand why. Why would he do that? Why not just do mitzvos? Wouldn't that be an easier way of getting rid of the Yetzer Hara? What was Yosef HaTzaddik doing? Inviting the Yetzer Hara upon him and then throwing it away. What was he thinking? I'll tell you honestly, we see a difference between Yosef HaTzaddik and Yehuda throughout all these parshios. A huge difference. It boils down to a massive fight where Yosef and Yehuda get into a massive fight about Binyamin. They don't know what to do about Binyamin. And Yehuda eventually wins. Yehuda wins. And we know what comes out. There's Malchus of Yehuda. There's Malchus of Yisrael. The Malchus where Yehuda is the king. And there's the Malchus where Yosef is the king. And we know which one lasts. We know Mashiach ben David wins. Mashiach ben Yosef gets killed. Mashiach ben Yosef is gone. We know that Yosef loses. What's the difference between Yehuda's way of the world and Yosef's way of the world? Yehuda's way that works for us and Yosef's way that doesn't work whatsoever, that we don't use. You have to understand something. Yosef is mentioned at the end of Yeshaya as being the lahava, the flame to Esav's kash, Esav's straw. Esav is going to be a pile of straw, and Yosef is going to be that flame that gets put along with that straw, that all of a sudden all the straw goes up in flames. That's what Yosef HaTzaddik is supposed to be. Esav stands for Taivas. Remember, his Malach is the Yetzer Hara. His Malach is the Yetzer Hara himself. Esav stands for all of Taivas. And Yosef HaTzaddik has an ability to burn up those Taivas, destroy them, so that they're not there whatsoever. And here's the idea. Yosef HaTzaddik is unaffected by the Yetzer Hara. You know how they say that he has no Ayin Hara? The Gemara that says he's Olei Ayin, he's above the eye, he's above the Ayin Hara. He has no Shaychus to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara cannot do anything to Yosef. The Yetzer Hara could seduce him all day long to do this, to do that. Yosef HaTzaddik has the ability to withstand everything. No one here could withstand the amount of pressure and the amount of beauty that Esav Potiphar had, that Zoika, the wife of Potiphar, had. Nobody. There's no way you would have lasted as long as Yosef HaTzaddik did. Yosef lasted for such a long time. And he was convinced, says the Chasam Sofer, she was Megayer herself. She became a Gioris. She divorced Potiphar. Potiphar was in on it. Privately. Publicly, they said, oh, we're still husband and wife. Potiphar knew there was going to be a tremendous child that was going to be born from this. He was in on it. He was ready to go. He told Yosef, go for it. Go for it. That's it. Everything else is yours. Even my wife is yours. That was the line that he used. It was mutter. And Yosef HaTzadik was still able to hold himself back. It's more than anybody could possibly imagine. That's what Yosef HaTzadik is.
It was mutter. Why did he hold himself back?
It was mutter. But it didn't look right. And his whole taina on the Shvatim in the beginning of the Parsha is you guys can't make it look bad. The Aver Min HaChai, the Arayis, you just can't look bad. His taina on the Shvatim was exactly that. So he couldn't use the exact same taina with Potiphar at the end. It was mutter, but it looks bad. People don't realize that she wasn't Ashes Potiphar. People don't realize such a thing. Here's the idea. For Yosef HaTzadik to fall to the Yetzirah, he needs to allow himself to be susceptible to the Yetzirah. And even then Yosef can run away. Even then he's able to run away. And that's why we bring down Yosef HaTzadik and Ish Potiphar in this week's Parsha. To show us what Yosef HaTzadik was like. He has to have the Yetzer Hara dragged to him, come to him, and then he's able to still say, no, go away. He's still able to pull himself back. But Yehuda is not like that. Yehuda is given Taivos. Given Taivos, and it's hard for him to knock himself down from it. Yehuda lives a life where he's always looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for signs. What should I do in this situation, God? What am I supposed to do over here? Sometimes Yehuda cannot hold himself back. And when the taiva is so great, the taiva is so big, sometimes Yehuda says, alright, I have to give in. Like by Tamar. He didn't know what it was, but a malach of taiva came down to Yehuda and said, do it. And Yehuda said, okay, fine. Then I'm going to go ahead and be together with Tamar.
He does it all the time.
Not understanding. And that's exactly what Yehuda stands for. That's exactly what Yehuda stands for. Yehuda stands for, sometimes you fail. Sometimes you fall down. But you can keep building yourself up. Yosef HaTzadik is about, I will never fall. Because if I fall, I'll never be able to get myself back up. But Yehuda brings himself down and then builds his way back up. It's all brought down from the Gemara in Makos and Daf Yoda Mabez. It brings down to when Yehuda's bones were rattling along in the kever. Rattling in the Kevarim, it's in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yehuda to go in. And he davened, number one, for his bones to go back into place. Number two, to allow him in the Yeshiva Shamayla. Number three, for him to argue in the points of the Yeshiva Shamayla. Number four, to come out with shmaitzes that are according to Halacha. Why not just ask for all four at once? Because Yehuda doesn't work that way. Yehuda works his way slowly up, little by little by little. He's about tshuva. He's a person who works on himself. And that's why Yehuda is in this week's Parsha. And who's great? The Torah had a choice. Should we mention Yehuda first? Or should we mention Yosef first? We're in the midst of Yosef anyway. Why not go on about the story of Yosef HaTzadik and then mention Yehuda and Tamar? Why not do that? And don't tell me it's in order. It's not necessarily in order. Rashi holds it's in order. The Ramban says it's out of order. So why do Yehuda and then Yosef? Because Yehuda is greater than Yosef. Because Yehuda, the Baal Tshuva, is able to bring himself to a higher level than Yosef HaTzadik, who never allowed himself to be susceptible to sin. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made Yosef as a special human being. Yosef HaTzadik was made in a way that he can't fall free to Taiva. He can't do it. It's not that big of a deal for him to say no to anybody, for him to stop himself from anybody. That's the difference between Yosef and Yehuda. Now do you understand just a little bit why the Shvatim looked at Yosef and said, this guy's a Baal Gaiva. He's having dreams. What's wrong with this guy? Because they looked at him and they said, he's just like us. All the other Shvatim were this way. All the other Shvatim acted, they did things wrong, they did tshuva, they felt bad about it, and that was that. They had their charata, they had their vidui, they felt bad, and they said, we're going to work on ourselves. We're making ourselves, and we're going to make ourselves better. All the Shvatim were like that. Except for Yosef. They looked at Yosef and they saw this dream. And they said, you have gaiva. You think terrible things. You're having terrible thoughts inside your head. No way. There's no way these dreams are real. But Yosef, the farthest thing from it. He couldn't have gaiva thoughts. He couldn't have them. They were impossible for him to have. He had a nevuah. And he tried his absolute hardest to convince them, I'm like Yaakov Avinu. But he couldn't convince them because he's only 17 years old. And they couldn't understand how a person at the age of 17 was able to bring himself to a level that took Yaakov Avinu 77 years to come to by the time he had that dream. They couldn't get it. He was a different type of person, Yosef HaTzadik, and that defined the difference. I'm sorry? Yosef and Yaakov.
Yeah.
100%. He learned Zrayim, and that's the whole Ben Zikunin. Zikunin, Zayin Kuf Nun Yud Mem, is Zrayim, Kudshin, Nashin, Yeshuos, which is the word in the Gemara for Nezikin, and Moed. The only thing he didn't learn with Yaakov Avinu was Taharus. And they're asked why the Balaturim on the bottom, the notes of the Balaturim say, because Taharus you have to learn by yourself. You can't learn with Chavrusa. That's the only reason why he didn't learn it with Yaakov Avinu. So altogether, all those, he was the Ben Zikunim, he learned that. But nobody knew about it. Because when Yosef HaTzadik learned with Yaakov, it was when everybody else was away. And Yosef HaTzadik learned in private with Yaakov Avinu. He was an unav, Yosef HaTzadik. He was an unbelievable unav. And he would never tell people what he did. So when they said, you're not worthy of having these dreams, Yosef HaTzadik didn't argue with them. Okay? Whatever you guys think. But the fact was, he couldn't have gaiva. He couldn't have done anything wrong. At the end, the Shvatim felt that Yosef was dangerous. They felt that he was telling over these crazy dreams. He's pretending to be this big tzaddik, even though he's not. They looked at him and said, what's wrong with this guy? The sod behind it is that they understood Yaakov Avinu to be an aleph, number one. There were eight sons as the B'nai Gviros. Six from Leah, two from Rachel. That's eight. That's a ches. And there were four B'nai Shvachos. Four, Dan, Asher, Gad, Naphtali. That's four for a Dalet. If Yosef HaTzadik separates the other Shvatim from Yaakov Avinu, that means you're separating Echad. That's the problem. They were separating the word Echad, and they weren't able to have a Yichud in Klal Yisrael. That's what they were doing. Yosef HaTzadik handed it right back to them. You guys are separating the Dalet. You guys are moving the four B'nai Shvachos, and you're making fun of them. You think I'm separating Yaakov Avinu from you? You guys are doing it by moving the Dalet away. That was the argument between the Shvatim. To be mafrid between those letters, to be mafrid between Yaakov Avinu and the other Shvatim was dangerous. So dangerous that the Shvatim, he deserves to die. He deserves to die for doing such a thing. They thought he was Chayiv Misa, and they paskined it. They paskined la'halacha that he was Chayiv Misa. And you know the halacha, right? If all 70 Zakenim on a Sanhedrin get together and they paskin that someone's Chayiv Misa, what happens? The guy goes free. But Yaakov Avinu said he was innocent. So they had 10 Shvatim, you don't count Binyamin, 10 Shvatim who said he was guilty. One person said he was innocent. Who was it? Yaakov Avinu. So he was Chayiv Misa. Binyamin wasn't involved. Binyamin was too young. But that's 11 people. They paskin he was Chayiv Misa, and he was actually Chayiv Misa. Because the rules went against Yaakov Avinu. But they couldn't find themselves. They couldn't get themselves to do it. So how are we going to kill him? Yaakov Avinu doesn't want him dead. They could never get themselves to kill him, even though they knew he was Chayiv Misa. They paskin he was Chayiv Misa. They were ready because of the prida that he was doing in Klal Yisrael, destroying. And they voted on it. They voted on it. And Yaakov Avinu said he's not Chayiv Misa for what he's doing. The Lashon Hara that he's saying is not a full prida. It's not going to happen. But the Shvatim paskined otherwise. A scary idea. It's mamish a Beis Din that got together. And they just couldn't do it. Yeah.
So if Yaakov knew that, then why would they think the famous story about when after the Joseph's coat, he like dipped it in blood and said, an animal.
Don't ever wonder what Yaakov Avinu was thinking this whole time. You think Yaakov Avinu really thought an animal was tearing up Yosef HaTzadik?
No, I mean, why would they have a good enough excuse? When they asked him, they're going to kill him right in front of Yaakov.
There's Ramazim and Sodos behind every single word. Taruf, Taraf, Yosef is an unbelievable line. Remember, Yehuda is Miteref B'ni Alisa. He was the one who was Miteref. He knew it was Yehuda. The kasha was what you were going to do after that. Don't worry about any of those lines. We're not going to explain all of them. But don't worry about anything. Yaakov Avinu knew that Yosef HaTzadik was alive somewhere. That's why he couldn't be consoled. He wasn't sure why it was happening, and that's what he was so upset about. But he knew it was happening. So Lamaise said they couldn't do it. But when God is involved, anything can happen. God wanted Yosef sold down to Mitzrayim. So what did he do? It's an unreal Netziv. The Netziv says that it says when they left to go down to Dothan, it says, Vayelchu liros esatzon etzon avihem, to go shepherd, to be the shepherds of the sheep of their fathers. Right by the word esatzon, there's these little dots on top. Says Rashi, liros esatzmon, to shepherd themselves, to graze themselves. What does that mean? Because they went to eat and drink, to drown their sorrows away. They were angry, the Shvatim, because they knew Yosef HaTzadik was Chayiv Misa, but they couldn't kill him. So what did they do? They went out to the field, they took food and they took drink, they said, we're going to sit out here away from Yosef HaTzadik, and we're going to drink a little bit, we're going to forget our sorrows, we're going to forget where we are a little bit, so that we forget what we're supposed to do, so that it's all gone. The Hashkacha, Yaakov Avinu got upset and said, I'm not worried about you, Yosef HaTzadik. I know you're a tzaddik. I know you're not going to be harmed by anybody. But the Shvatim I'm worried about. You have to go out there and help them. Because in your schus, the Shvatim will be saved. But you yourself, I know nothing's going to happen to you. Here's the Hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that when a person can't really do something, but he drinks a little bit, all of a sudden, he's able to do something that he normally wouldn't be able to do. They drank. They had no expectation of meeting Yosef at Tzadik. But when you drink and you see the person who you already paskened as Chayiv Misa, that's what caused them to decide, now we can kill him. It was just a tiny little bit of inhibition on the Shvatim's part that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to happen in order to make them do this. Because they couldn't do it normally. And there was no way to make it happen in any other way. So Kaddish Baruch Hu allowed them to be inhibited, allowed Yosef to come up to them exactly at that moment before they started eating. They were still more drunk than they were eating. Remember, right after they sold Yosef, they sat down to eat bread. They hadn't eaten anything yet. They were just a little bit done. A little bit over. And that little bit caused them to paskin Misa on Yosef Atzadik and follow through on it. They were literally going to kill him, if not for Reuven, who got up and said, no. And he didn't drink, because he had to go back to Yaakov Avinu within a couple minutes. As we all know, he left right after this to go help Yaakov Avinu or to go do tshuva. So he didn't drink. And he said, no, guys, throw him in a pit instead. And they were still willing to throw him in a pit with snakes and scorpions in it. Isn't that crazy? They're willing to throw him in a pit to be able to throw him down there and say, let's see what this guy is going to do. That was what they were willing to do based on what had happened. Only Yehuda was able to have seichel. He's the leader. He was thus nisala. He said, Ma betza. Wait a second, guys. What are we gaining by killing Yosef HaTzadik? What are we going to gain? We're not going to get the ksonis pasim from it. He's not going to, Yaakovin is not going to give it to any of us if we kill Yosef. He's not going to love us anymore because we killed Yosef HaTzadik. Yes, we all know he's Chayiv Misa. But let's send him away. Let's send him away from us. And we'll see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do with him. Let's see what ends up happening. There's no point otherwise. And that's what happened to the Shvatim. An unreal pshat. They were fooled by themselves. And only later did they realize, what did we just do? What in the world just happened? It was Gilu, they were in a dream. And they woke up from the dream and they were just like, what in the world? Did we just tell Yosef? What did we just do?
Where do we see that? It never seems to show that they feel any, until the very end, they never seem to show any remorse at all.
All it comes from is from their appearance when they saw Yaakov in his face and knew that the only way for them to get around it is by going ahead and doing something. They had to do something to be able to get rid of Yaakov Avinu's tsar. They didn't know what to do. They had absolutely no clue. They were gone by that
time. But what I'm asking,
and that was the upset.
What I'm asking is, where's that even a little bit hinted to in the psukim? Don't
Reuven himself says it. And when Reuven says it out loud, everybody felt it. Vani onaniva. By the way, do you think Reuven ever knew what happened to Yosef?
No.
How could Reuven have known? They had sworn not to tell anybody. So what happened? Did Reuven ever know what happened to Yosef? Did Reuven even know that he was down in Mitzrayim when they were down in Mitzrayim? He wouldn't have even known anything. He was never told anything. Binyamin got it through Ruach HaKodesh. Yaakov didn't know and Reuven didn't know. It's such a crazy parsha with everything, all for that. And let me tell you a little Gemara. You've all heard this Gemara before. It just doesn't, you never connect it with this, but the Chidush HaRim connects it. Okay, the Gemara is in Lamed Gimel and Beis and Shabbos, and you've done it, you all do it in Lag BaOmer. The famous Gemara, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai are all sitting in a room discussing the Milos and the Chasronos of the Roman Empire. And Rebbe Yehuda gets up and he says, oh, the Romans are so good. They made bridges. They made these huge marketplaces. They made all these great things for the Jews. Look at all the things that the Romans did for the Jews. Rebbe Yossi was silent. He didn't want to say a thing. And Rebbe Shimon said, what, are you joking? The marketplaces, they made that for Zonos. The bridges, they made those for taxes. Everything else, so that's garbage. They did it for themselves. The Romans do everything for themselves. The Romans heard about this conversation. We all know what happened. They said, Yehuda, he said good things about us. He will be the Rosh HaMedaber in the Chol Makom. The first one to speak in any place will be Rebbe Yehuda. Yossi, he was quiet. He gets golos. He goes out to Tzipori. Throw him out to Tzipori, which is we might know as the Sfas. Shimon that said bad things about us, Shimon will be killed. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going to be killed. You want to hear the funny thing? The Gemara calls Rabbi Yehuda the Rosh HaMedaber B'chol Makom throughout the entire Gemara. Why is he known as Rosh HaMedaber B'chol Makom? That's what the Romans called him. That's not a Mila. That's what the Romans said about him. Why do we call Yehuda Rosh HaMedaber B'chol Makom? Says the Kedush HaRim, an unbelievable remez. Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is Yosef. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Shimon. The three main people involved in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. We all know that Yosef was somewhat guilty. He had done some things wrong. He spoke Lashon Hara. And in the end, he had a lot to do. What happens when you speak Lashon Hara? One of the chiyuvim, one of the punishments is golus. You have to go into golus to stay away from people. Okay? That's the idea of a mitzora. Mitzora goes out of places in order to go somewhere. Shimon is the one that took Yosef Atzadik and threw him in the pits. He's the one that threw him down in the pit. And Rabbi Yehuda? Yehuda himself, Yehuda is the one that tried to save Yosef HaTzadik. He came up with an idea even while inhibited. He still tried to save Yosef HaTzadik. Still tried to get Yosef HaTzadik back. Their tikkunim happened later on. Yehuda, because of the maisa that he did, he spoke up. And he spoke out in the defense of Yosef HaTzadik. His tikkun, Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda, spoke out in the defense of the Romans. And he was nis'ale, raised up and became Rosh HaMedavrim, the Chol Makom, the same way that Yehuda became a king. Says Yaakov Vino about Yehuda in Parshas Vayechi, Miteref Bini Alisa. Because of what you did to my son Yosef HaTzadik, you took the lead. You now became the king forever. That's what you are, Yehuda. Why? Because you're doing shuva for it. You realize you had done something wrong and you did Shuvah. That's what you're all about. That's Yehuda. Yossi is Yosef HaTzadik. Yossi had done something wrong and he was silent. Here's the pshat. He was silent to be metaken the chait of Yosef HaTzadik. What did Yosef HaTzadik do that was wrong? He spoke too much. He said too many things to Yaakov about the Shvatim that he shouldn't have said. The tikkun for that is to be quiet. Don't say anything. Be quiet. And because of that, he still had to have his golos. He went to Tzipori. Tzipori is a lashon of tzipor, a bird, as in birds chirp all the time and they talk all the time, as a reference to Lashon Hara. He had to go to golos to be metaking the golos of Yosef HaTzadik, that it should be done in a good way. Notice, by the way, it's an unbelievable line. How long was Yosef HaTzadik in the pit for? In the pit when he was put in jail? 12 years. 10 years, and then another 2 was added on. 12 years altogether. Shimon Bar Yochai.
In the pit,
in the jail.
Oh.
At the end of the parasha. Would be Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon had to be punished for throwing Yosef into the pit and by taking things into his own hand. So Shimon Bar Yochai was punished to be allowed in this story, to be the one to say bad things about Roman for it to be found out about. Thus he had to spend 12 years in a cave. 12 years in a cave. And because he had sold Yosef HaTzadik, he was the main person involved in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik. He was the one who pulled him out, gave him over to the Midianim, or the Midianim, or the Yishmaelim, whichever one it was. He was involved. He's the one who caused a stimas oros for Klal Yisrael. The light that was given down to the Shvatim was gone until they got Yosef HaTzadik back. That's the idea of Ani Yosef Ahud Avichai. He took off his mask, so to speak, and showed him the ore that he had. He contained the light that they were missing for the past 22 years. 22 years. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's job was to bring back the light. So what did he do? While he was in the cave, what did he write?
Kabbalah.
Which is?
Zohar.
The Zohar. Which is the ultimate shining of light. And that's the pshat behind Yosef, Yehuda, and Shimon getting their tikkunim through these three people in the story specifically. That's the concept of what was supposed to be. Now, two small things. These two small things, both of them, are going to be quick, very easy for Shabbos. You're going to like them both. V'nira mayu chalomosav. There's a time where the Shvatim say, let's see what's going to be with this guy's dreams. It's in Pasuk Chof. Parak Lam is not in Pasuk Chof. They say, V'atar l'chub ben argeu, let's kill him. Nashachir ba'achar aboros will throw his body in one of the pits. Ba'manu chayu roach alasu will say that a wild animal ate him. V'nira mayu chalomosav. We'll see what's going to be with his dreams. We'll see what's going to be. Says Rashi, they couldn't have said it. They wouldn't have said such a thing sarcastically. They wouldn't do such a thing. Rather, Ruach HaKodesh, God said it himself and called down, let's see what will be with those dreams. The question is, why would the Shvatim go ahead with it? If they said, like, oh, we're going to kill him and throw him in a pit. And all of a sudden God said, oh yeah, well, I'm going to show you how the dreams will come true. Wouldn't that stop you from doing anything? You would stop right there and be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be throwing him inside this pit right now. God is not exactly on our side. Wouldn't that be the first thing that comes into your head? So rather, the answer that you could say is the following. They themselves said it, but they had no idea what they were saying. They said the words. They said, V'nira mayu chalomosav. And they thought they were saying it sarcastically. But none of them caught on to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the words in their mouths. They said, let's see what will be with the dreams. And they should have said immediately, wait a second, what does that mean? Why did we just say that? Why did our mouths just say that out loud? It must be that something's going on, but they didn't pay attention to it. Here's the pshat. Anytime you're doing something bad, your mouth will fool you. Your mouth is going to add on something that you know you shouldn't have said, but you said it anyway. Something that you didn't have, and there's a sign by that. You can look for that sign, you can do it. Or you can just choose to ignore it completely. Want to hear a push-up shot? Could you share in? Push-up shot. Push-up shot. They shot them and said, we'll kill him, right? And if the tsar of Yaakov Avinu is too much, if his pain is too much, don't worry. We know how to do tchiyas ha-mesim. If the Amorayim knew how to do Tchias HaMesim, you don't think the Shvatim knew how to do Tchias HaMesim? So we'll do Tchias HaMesim, we'll bring him back to life. And then we'll see what will be with his dreams. Is that enough of a line? So they threw in a bit, they said we'll kill him. And if we need to, we'll bring him back to life and see what happens with his dreams. If we need to. They couldn't do that in the end because they sold him down to Mitzrayim. But that was the board of what they wanted to do. And then we have the Kedusha in the very, very end. Well, we all said,
Tchias HaMesim is so easy back then. And like, what's the point of having Misha in the world at all?
I cannot tell you how the Chiddush Rebbe came. First of all, the Chiddush Rebbe says, you want the Pashup shot in the Pasuk? The Pashup shot in the Pasuk. That they could do Tchias HaMesim and they would have let him live again. Okay, I'm just telling you, this Pashup shot. Regardless, you have to say that there were limitations. There were limitations, but they felt that this is important enough that they could use this as one of their excuses. Pretty crazy, isn't it? Just Tchias HaMesim, just with that. Now, we said before that Yosef was L'shem Shemayim by Zleika, by Eshes Potifar. To make the Nisayim greater, he went to her and he tested his own Yitzhara to see if he'd be able to hold himself back, and he was able to do it again and again and again. Thing was, he wasn't positive it was the Yitzhara telling him to do it or the Yitzhar Tov. How many times does something happen during the day and you wonder to yourself, is this my Yitzhar Tov telling me to do it or it's my Yitzhara telling me to do it? It could even be something good. Learning out loud so that other people hear you. Is that your Yitzhara telling you to do it? Or is that your Yitzhar Tov telling you to do it? It could be anything. Anything you do, it could be either one. You have to decide which one is which. How can you tell what's your Yitzhar Tov and what's your Yitzhara? So Yosef had to get a way of figuring it out. How do you know it was his Yitzhara? Because again, she was Jewish. She was Megayer, right? She had gotten rid of her husband. Potiphar had already given into it, but Potiphar said it's all good. In theory, they could be together. But when he saw in Parak Lamites Pasuk Yud, Vayi Kidaber El Yosef Yom Yom, she spoke to him day after day. Here's the pshat, and here's the difference in the Yitzhar Hara and the Yitzhar Tov. The Yitzhar Tov will only ask you to do it once. And if you say yes, then you're great. Because you gave into the Yitzhar Tov, and everything's all good. If you say no, he'll never come back to you and offer it ever again. That's the way the Yitzhar Tov is. You have one chance to do a huge mitzvah. If you do it, great. If you don't do it, you're never going to have a chance to do it ever again. You might have something similar, but you'll never have the exact same thing ever again. The Yitzhar Hara comes back day after day after day after day, and he tests you with the exact same test. When he saw that Eshes Potiphar came up to him day after day after day, he realized it's not the Yetzer Tov. This is the Yetzer Hara. And that's when he realized he had to pull himself back and not do what he was going to do. Not do what he had set out to do and try to be together with her in order to have this special child. He knew he couldn't be together with her, and that's for all of us. Every single time.
What was the special child?
Menashe. That was what was supposed to happen. Menashe was supposed to be there. Menashe and Ephraim was supposed to be born from Zleika. It never happened. It happened from Osnas instead. And Osnas was the mother of the child. But it should have happened from Zleika, from Eshes Potiphar. That is what we have to see. If something is coming up to us again and again and again, then you know it's not the Yetzer Tov. It's the Yetzer Hara. You only get one chance to do something good. So as our summary, Yaakov's dream versus Yosef's dream. In translating them, the Shvatim thought that Yosef was nobody. What's his dream? What does that mean? Yosef was a true tzaddik, different from Yehuda, and that Yosef could not sin while Yehuda had to work himself back. It was challenged versus complacent. That's how you would call it. How the Shvatim were able to kill Yosef, they got themselves a little bit drunk, not thinking Yosef would be anywhere around, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Ashkaka, allowed Yosef to be there right at that moment for them to be able to do this. And that explains Yehuda, Yosef, and Shimon in the story that we gave in Shabbos, Lamed Gimel Beis, the whole tikkun that they had. Then we said two other things. The Nira Mayu Chalomosov, what does that mean exactly? And then we said the difference between the Yitzhar Tov and the Yitzhar, how the Yitzhar Tov works versus how the Yitzhar Hara works. Stop with that, guys. Have a good